ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the It's Obvious podcast. My name is Garrett Drake. I'm joined online by Jacob Alka. Preston's still missing in action, out of town, working very hard. We miss him. We love him. Jacob, it's good to be back. It's been quite a while, my friend. How are you?
Garrett, it's been incredibly long. I haven't seen you in ages. It's great hearing your voice again. And I know we've both been at least playing one game to death. And we'll have more to say about it later. But I want to hear about you, my friend. How have you been? I know you went away this weekend. Tell me about that.
I've been up to quite a bit, Jacob. I managed to conquer my final projects for school. The school quarter has concluded, thankfully.
Congratulations.
So I'm out of classes for the remainder of the year. Granted, there's still a lot of pre-production that's happening with these final films I'm working on at the turn of the year. But aside from that, school is basically out of the picture, which is just wonderful. So I'm excited for a wonderful Thanksgiving break and Christmas break. It's going to be great. In addition to that, I did manage to get through the review of Jedi Fallen Order. And all things went well. I think the review's doing pretty well on YouTube, including some gameplay videos I threw out there. So that was a lot of fun to work on. It was grueling because I had school and work in between reviewing it. And the process of writing that review and getting it onto the internet was hell. But it was a ton of fun. And I really, really enjoyed the game. And I know we'll talk about it in depth in a bit. So did that. And yeah, I went out of town to Pigeon Forge with our buddies Zach Bynum and Evan Mitchell to have a little weekend getaway and just rest and recuperate after a busy season we'd all been through. And just enjoy God's creation. I mean, it was absolutely stunningly beautiful up there. I'd been to Gatlinburg, but I hadn't quite been to Pigeon Forge before. They're not totally different, but it's up in the Smoky Mountains. And we stayed in a log cabin for a few days. And we had just an immaculate view of the mountains the whole time, and it was incredible. The sun rose every morning right over the mountainscape in front of our cabin. So that was beautiful. We got to experience some of the town. The funny thing about the town is that while there is a lot to do there, the most I got out of it was that everyone we encountered was just so unbelievably friendly and professional in every way. Like the Publix we went into, we went in a bunch of different restaurants and shops. Everyone was just so kind and courteous. It was amazing. I guess I'd grown so used to the I mean, not everyone's in a bad mood in Atlanta, but a lot of people are often just very nonchalant and lackadaisical about the work they're doing.
Yeah.
And I've always been of the mindset, no matter what you do, like, give it your all and just, like, at least pretend like you want to be there. But, yeah, everyone was just incredible in Pigeon Forge. So we had just an amazing time, the three of us, and it was great. So back home now, and not much going on. So I don't really have anything on the agenda aside from the podcast and work later tonight. So what have you been up to, Jacob?
Well, that makes me happy to hear because I miss doing this podcast. It's always fun to upload every week and chat with everyone, have that, you know, new stream of conversation going every week.
But agreed. It is good to be back.
Glad to have you here. So I woke up this morning with like a kink in my neck and it hurts really bad. And I don't know what to do about it. I think I might have like pulled it when I was doing chest yesterday.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like it's like one of those pains where it's like I move my neck a little bit. And it's like a sharp sting.
Man,
it really hurts.
You sleep like upside down or something?
No, like it was hurting before I even went to sleep. That's the problem. So I thought maybe a good night's sleep might have helped it, but it didn't. I took some Motrin though. So
Motrin. I haven't taken Motrin in a long time.
I usually like to rotate between that and like Tylenol for stuff like this.
You take the liquid kind or the pills?
Now the pills.
Okay. Yeah, I used to love the liquid Motrin because it was orange flavored when I was a kid.
Ugh, that sounds gross.
Yeah, that's the only medicine I could take down that was liquid when I was a kid that I actually liked.
You couldn't do the grape ones?
Never liked grape.
I mean, I don't like it either, but it's still medicine.
Yeah, I mean, I had to take grape sometimes, but I much preferred the orange one.
I feel that. Well, besides that, just been playing a lot of games, been watching Mandalorian. Been watching, have you ever heard of The Ranch on Netflix, Garrett?
I have.
Been watching that. I'm enjoying it. It's got a lot of the cast members from That 70s Show. So it's set on like a ranch in the Midwest. I actually think it's like closer to the West Coast. I think it's like Utah or something. But it's entertaining. It's actually really similar to That 70s Show. Speaking of just having the cast members, like it's just like some of the comedy is just the same. So I'm enjoying it a lot. And been working a lot. Actually, work's changing a bit, Garrett. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go out for lunch anymore because I got moved out of Atlanta for work. So I won't be in Atlanta anymore, which is sad because I liked doing my work in Atlanta. But now I'm going to be like everywhere outside of Atlanta. So teardrop. But, you know, that's life. We're going to move on from it and we're still going to do good work. But besides that, man, really been kind of playing a lot of games lately. It's been taking up all my free time.
That's exciting.
Oh, yeah, dude. Would you like to jump in to a game that we've been playing?
Sure, let's do it.
So, we've both been playing Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, correct?
Yeah.
And you've already put out a review, so I assume you finished the game.
I have. I've literally done every single thing you can do.
Really? Like all the secrets?
Yep, everything. 100%.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so, I wanted to do that before I reviewed it because I feel like that would definitely make a difference in the final score for me, and it certainly did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard there's some really cool story beats, which I don't think I've gotten to yet. I have not beaten the game. Let me actually pull up my Steam and see how many hours it says I have. 11 hours. So according to like other people's like time play that they've been mentioning, I think I'm a little under halfway, maybe. So I've been to a few planets so far. I've actually spent a lot of time on Zepho, which I currently just finished my second visit to Zepho, which was really cool. I'm loving, I don't even know where to start with this. Do you have a good place to start? Because I just want to like jump into the boss fights, because I'm just enjoying every single one of those a lot. Like so far, a lot of them have just been like reskins of enemies that you already encounter, but they still like to add a tiny little twist to each of their fights, which I really like. And I like how they're like visually different and stuff like that. And I had a, I guess, but I don't want to spoil anything, but I had like a, I guess my first real boss fight with someone of a significance in the story. And I really enjoyed that fight. And I don't know, I'm getting to the point where I'm really good, or not, I shouldn't say really good, because I'm not great at games, but I'm like getting really decent at using all my force abilities and stuff. So just like having the ability to integrate those into my just regular combat instead of just spamming, you know, square every time on the PS4 controller for attacks. It just feels really satisfying. And I don't know, like without me like just jumping all over the place, I'm just really enjoying this game right now. Where do you think we should start in terms of just talking about it? Because there's so much to, you know, digest here.
It's tricky to cover the story because there's so much right. That can be spoiled from it.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the end of the day, I don't think it's a situation where if you spoiled it, it would like ruin anyone's experience. But
yeah,
we'll avoid that for sure. But
I've heard multiple people say that this is like one of the best Star Wars stories.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know if I would say that, but I do like it a lot. I think it's really good.
Okay.
I think the characters are cool. I think Cal, as much as I do like him, I can relate to his character a lot. He is the most boring out of the entire cast, I think. But I like him. I still like him. He has a lot of charm. But
do you relate to him because he's boring?
No, not because of that. He's boring just because he's just, his personality is very vanilla. Like he's okay. Never really ultimately tempted by the dark side. He never really has that true struggle.
Yeah.
He does have some growth throughout the arc of the story because he starts out with a lot of doubt. And sometimes he's prideful and he carries a lot of guilt from his past. Yeah. And he eventually overcomes that and it kind of enables him to truly become a Jedi Knight and embrace his power and to move forward and to let go of the past. So that's kind of his growth throughout the story. But yeah, I think Seer is far more interesting and people that have played at least half of the game know why.
Yeah, I think I've gotten to that point where she's starting to get really interesting.
Yeah, her arc is way more intriguing to me than Cal's, but I still like both of them a lot. I thought Cal, Seer, and Grease had awesome camaraderie throughout the game. And Grease, I guess, I think they try to give him an arc where he starts out kind of grumpy and sort of, he doesn't love the idea of going around the galaxy trying to complete this mission, but by the end of the game he kind of admits that he enjoys everyone's presence and actually wants to continue fighting against the Empire. So
speaking of the other characters, I love just going up and talking to them. I don't know if you spend any time doing this, but every time I land somewhere I always go up and talk to my two shipmates because I want to touch bases with them. I want to see how they are, see what's new with them. You know, it's just, I'm like literally taking in everything this game has to offer.
Yeah, me too. That's one of my favorite aspects is that not only can you just get to know the characters pretty well, but you know, throughout all the planets, there are all these secrets and lore to pick up along the way. And you're really, that's what's cool about filling out your encyclopedia is not only are you finding all these new creations on specifically Zepho and Dathomir, the new planets that Respawn created, which I found far more interesting than Kashyyyk personally. I thought Kashyyyk was the most boring of the planets.
Yeah, it was very linear, you know?
Yeah. It opens up later in the game, but even then, it's still pretty straightforward. And I feel like they didn't have as much creative liberty there. And you can see it. And I remember that in the interview, they said they had to work with Lucasfilm like very closely on determining exactly how these planets would look and feel. And yeah, you can see, I think Zepho is by far and wide the best planet in the game.
Oh yeah.
Has the most diverse areas. It's the most fun to explore. It's beautiful.
The first day I just spent hours just exploring the whole planet. Like I literally went everywhere that I could go, but I couldn't progress through a lot of those areas because I didn't have the upgrades.
Right.
Which brings back the whole Metroidvania style that this game is, you know, trying to provide. Which is, I think that nails in that regard.
Totally, yeah. And I love, that was one of my favorite aspects, is just filling out these stories that you collect all these secrets throughout the planets that, you know, you might get bits and pieces here. And then when you find all of them, you have the full story of what happened to these people and the events that occurred. So I really enjoyed that a lot because I love just world building, especially in Star Wars. And that's what's cool about Respawn, I feel like, is that they got to do so much world building through this game that's now considered canon.
Not to mention, this is their first like third person action game, right?
Yeah, that's what's so impressive is that it is a completely different genre from, you know, of course, Titanfall and Apex, but it feels just as good to play, which is amazing.
Oh yeah.
So,
and that's not to say there aren't problems with the game. I encountered a couple bugs.
Actually, oh yeah, there's definitely bugs, but I mean mechanically, just running around, the parkour, the combat feels just silky smooth as Apex does to play, which is amazing because they're completely different genres.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah, there's a couple AI issues. I mean, I think I mentioned in the review on two or three occasions, I'd be in the middle of a fight and the guys would just stop fighting me and try to walk away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Same.
So that would happen a couple of times. There's a couple of times where I'd walk on air. The game did crash once in PC, but it was only once.
I haven't had a crash yet, thankfully.
So there's a couple AI issues and a couple graphical issues that would, you know, textures would pop in and out or enemies would fall through the floor and stuff. But I think that those things only happened to me once. Mm-hmm. But the only glaring issues I encountered were the AI issues that happened a couple of times. But 9 times out of 10, everything would play out the way I think they intended it to. So, but yeah, the only other lacking thing that I should have mentioned this in the review, but I did feel like there wasn't quite enough enemy variety. I do think each enemy respectively was fun to fight, but I could have used a little more, I think.
Okay. I haven't really run into that issue yet. I'm enjoying, I think there is variety, but not like large variety, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like there's tons of different stormtroopers, but they're all stormtroopers, right?
And they're similar too. You know, you have like the scout troopers, but then you have like the commando scout troopers that are just a little bit stronger. And then you have, you know, stormtroopers that have blasters, stormtroopers that have the chain guns and the rocket launchers. So they're a little different, but I think the best combat scenarios are when you have multiple guys that have melee combat, you have stormtroopers surrounding you with blasters, rocket launchers, so then it really forces you to use all of your force powers.
Oh yeah.
In addition to the lightsaber.
You have to like go in and plan how you want to take out all the enemies who you take out first, you know, without taking too much damage.
Yeah, and I find even just the standard melee combat just really, really satisfying. It feels powerful, it feels intense, and I think the counter, I haven't played on the hardest difficulty. I know the counter window is much smaller on that difficulty, but on normal, it feels really good when you counter guys and play defensively, and when you figure out how to properly, you know, when to attack, when to defend, when to dodge. And it gets more, that's what's great about the game is that I feel like it really ages like a fine wine. It progresses like a fine wine because when you unlock these new combat abilities in addition to these force powers and become more and more powerful, the combat just becomes more and more fun. And it starts out really good, but it just gets better over time.
Yep.
So that's what I really enjoyed about it. So I was never really bored with the combat at all. Even when I was retraversing these planets and encountering the same groups of enemies, it's like it was a brand new fight because of the new stuff I'd acquired.
Yeah.
So I do like really think Respawn succeeded with the retraversal, not only with just combat because you're having these new experiences with all the abilities, but exploring the new areas with the force powers, the gear you've acquired to progress further into them was just a ton of fun. So I loved it.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, what's crazy is that as I'm playing this game, like, I've read previews and stuff, and I listened to you speaking about it, and I heard everyone compare this game to so many different other games. Like, it's got, like, God of War upgrading, it's got Uncharted climbing, Tomb Raider gameplay, what am I forgetting? Zelda-like dungeons, Zelda-lite dungeons. There's another big one that I'm missing, but it's just crazy, like, how many different... It's like they're taking different systems for all these different games, and they're trying to, like, craft them all together and mold it into a fun Star Wars experience, and I think they succeeded in that regard. But I've heard other people complain, like, because they've done something like this, it doesn't really have an identity in its own. And I want to know, like, what are your thoughts on that in particular? Like, do you think this game does anything original, or do you think it's good enough just doing what it did and telling a compelling Star Wars story?
Right. Yeah, I've given this a lot of thought, because exactly like you said, I mentioned that in my review too. It does seem very derivative of just several games, all the ones you mentioned. And,
oh yeah, Metroidvania is the one I missed.
And I do think on one hand, it's impressive that they combined all these different gameplay elements into a system that actually works and is fun to play. And it's weird because I think that, you know, the parkour, the exploration, and to an extent the combat, I could imagine in a Star Wars game, but especially I think what surprised me most was the Dark Souls, like Soulsborne aspect, we know with like the bonfire system.
Yeah.
That's called meditation spots in this game, but very similar, like the bonfires where the enemies respawn and replenishes your health.
Yeah.
So that surprised me, but I thought that was really fun for the game. I liked it a lot, just mainly because I like Soulsborne games.
Do you like that you can't fast travel, or do you wish you could?
I initially, I mentioned this in the review too, initially I was like, wow, I'm totally on board with not fast traveling because there's so much to explore. Mm-hmm. And especially after you kind of complete a big event on a planet, the planet evolves a little bit. Like, for example, on Zepho, when you complete the first temple, all these air pockets spread out throughout the map that enable you to not only move around faster, but access new areas. So that was the first time I was like, okay, now I get why there's no fast travel, because there's always going to be something new to explore.
Yeah, and there's like shortcuts and stuff.
Yeah, but there did come a point where I did want fast travel, because for example, on Kashyyyk, I had left behind one secret on the planet that was deep into the Shadowlands, literally as far as you could go up the origin tree to grab it. And I had to run across the entire planet, all through this stuff I've been through a million times, just to get to that secret.
That sucks.
And that was really annoying. I had to do that twice on two different planets, and I would have loved to have just landed on the planet, fast traveled to the closest meditation spot, and then grabbed it. I will say the only plus of having to climb the origin tree again was that big bird creature. This isn't really a spoiler, I don't think, but there's a big bird that you meet up there when you get to that point in the story, and you can ride him back down to a spot that's closer to the front of the map. So that's convenient, but climbing all the way back up there really sucked.
Yeah.
But I do think it'd be cool if, you know, once you complete like the big arc of a planet, I know you can go back and explore more for all the extra collectibles and stuff.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice if, like, once you complete that big arc, it's like, okay, now you can fast travel if you want to.
Yeah. Or even like if you just beat the game, like going back to get collectibles and stuff.
Yeah. But on that note, let's talk about the collectibles. I'm really interested to hear how you feel about what you've collected so far.
Well, all the collectibles are basically lightsaber parts, right?
Yeah. So you can collect ponchos, outfits, lightsaber parts,
ship skins,
and BD1 skins.
Yeah. Overall, I really, really, really like the lightsaber customization.
Oh yeah.
Albeit I haven't unlocked, I probably unlocked maybe half of the cosmetics, but I love how you can literally craft your own lightsaber, including its color. And you just, you know, I haven't changed it for a long time because I've just fallen in love with how mine looks. And I don't really want to change it. It feels like my own Cal's lightsaber. I love it. In terms of like the other cosmetics, I'm not a huge fan of the ponchos. Until just recently, I got one that I actually liked. But up until then, I had all these weird colors like pink. I was rocking pink for a while. I just don't think they look that great. I would much rather have like a robe. But I know that doesn't really fit the time period. Like a Jedi in a robe right now. I assume there's going to be some other cool cosmetics, but I don't know. I think the ponchos are a little underwhelming. I really like BD, not just him as a character, but also I like some of his skins a lot. But I've mainly been rocking the orange saber emitter the whole time.
Interesting. It matches his hair at least.
It does. Yeah. Mr. Carrot Top.
Mr. Carrot Top. So I've given a lot of thought to these, all the cosmetic items. So on one hand, I think the majority of the ponchos suck. I was actually really disappointed with the variety. I mean, they all have a lot of variety, but I think a lot of them look pretty goofy. There are a couple that are pretty cool, but I think his standard Braca mining poncho, whatever it's called, just looks the coolest.
Yeah.
There are a couple that I swap to here and there, but the only time I would really wear a poncho is when I was on cold planets, and you only go to two cold planets throughout the game. Mm-hmm. But I did wear, I think the coolest outfit I had up until the end was a Kashyyyk outfit. It's a green, one of his green flight suits with a cool green, like Wookiee inspired poncho you can wear over that matches really well. And it looks cool. You kind of look like you're right out of Return of the Jedi when they're on Endor.
Dude, speaking of the Wookiees, they look terrible.
Oh, they did Kashyyyk. Look awful. Yeah. That's like, what's so funny to me preview. Is that Kashyyyk is a known planet. And I remember them, it's almost like I could sense it in their voices when they mentioned Kashyyyk in the interview I did at that preview event. Yeah. It's like, it's almost like Lucasfilm told them exactly how it needed to be and they were forced to do it that way. Because Kashyyyk is just, I mean, it's cool. There's some decent shortcuts. I mean, there's some enemy variety and some of the parkour is fun. But overall, that planet is just not nearly as interesting to me as Zepho. And you can just see the creative liberty they had with Zepho because it's a brand new world, sure. Brand new lore. And I think that's what's amazing to me is that Respawn came up with that. And it was one of the best aspects of the game to me. But cosmetically, it's kind of cool because I can already tell that when they make the sequel to this game, we will have far more variety with the cosmetics. I think they intentionally reserved Cal to having these ponchos and flight suits because they want to have the jump from, say, Luke from Empire to Luke in Return of the Jedi, where there will be a time jump in the sequel, and I think we will have more variety to, say, Jedi robes, Jedi armor, and cool stuff that kind of matches like a true Jedi knight. Mm-hmm. So I like the fact that Cal is like sort of like in his journey where Luke was in Empire, where he's figuring things out and he's growing stronger and he's learning the ways of the Force. And that's very much a part of this game, is going from a Padawan to a Jedi Knight. And you can feel that. That's what I loved, is that not only is his story, not only is he experiencing that story, but you're sort of along for that ride and you're also learning the mechanics. Also, you're literally growing stronger as a player, figuring things out. Like when you master the mechanics, unlock new abilities and practicing these things. So that's why I had so much fun progressing, is that not only is Cal going through this in the game world, but you as the player are sort of going through the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool that his appearance reflects that. I mean, I will say I was disappointed by the ponchos, but one thing I was hoping for, this isn't a spoiler either, but the whole game I was like, just give me a black outfit because I want to mimic Luke's transition from Empire to Return of the Jedi.
And
there is a black outfit on Dathomir you can grab. And when I unlocked it, I was so because I had one more outfit to find and I had one more chest in Dathomir to grab. I was like, this has to be a black outfit. I thought it'd be either white or black. I was like, please give me a black one. And it is black, thankfully. It's called Outlaw. I think it's by far the coolest outfit he can wear.
Can you get it before you beat the game?
You can, yeah.
Sweet.
So it was cool because I mentioned this. I won't spoil it for anyone who hasn't made it because it was by far my favorite moment in the game. But there's a moment where you have to craft a new lightsaber intentionally. And it gives you a chance to go through this awesome process. And it was the perfect moment for me to transition from Padawan Cal. And this is totally me role-playing, by the way. Go from Padawan Cal to Jedi Knight Cal, where I emerged because I went into this specific event in his default, you know, blue flight suit, blue poncho with a blue lightsaber. And I emerged initially with a green lightsaber, brand new hilt in my black outfit to kind of be like the next Luke Skywalker. And I realized, as much as I love a green lightsaber, you know what really throws me off about it? And I know this sounds awful, but his red hair just clashes with everything to me. And knowing you're like, I'm fine with him being a redhead, but his red hair just clashes with everything to me. So I'm like, the blue matches the red hair. So I was like, well, maybe instead of doing blue or green, I feel like Cal, especially because his master had a blue lightsaber and he had it as a Padawan had a blue lightsaber. I feel like cyan fits him better because not only is it also a shade of blue, but it also sort of looks like Luke's lightsaber in A New Hope, like the first lightsaber he gets. So I thought cyan looked really cool. So I eventually went with a cyan lightsaber, but that whole sequence of transitioning from Padawan to Jedi Knight is just one of the coolest parts of the game to me by far. And I had so much fun playing into that as a fan of the franchise. So that was really awesome. So I'm excited to hear people's thoughts on that. But
I was actually really happy to see Dathomir in the game because as everyone knows, that's where Darth Maul was originated from. That's where his people reside. So it's just cool, like, diving into, like, because everyone loves that character from The Phantom Menace.
Right.
And other, you know, he was also in the Clone Wars and stuff like that.
Yeah, I will say, like, some of the enemies on that planet are super bizarre for Star Wars. Like, they're straight up, it's like The Walking Dead on that planet, which is fine. I mean, I had fun with it, but it was a little weird.
I like its variety, though. I like it that it's like that, because it makes it a little more spooky, a little more scary.
Yeah, we did need one creepy planet, and I thought it was pretty cool. That also, I mean, that planet was pretty good, too, but yeah, I still think Zepho is easily the best one out of all of them.
Yeah, I've still only been to the first planet you go to, Zepho, Dathomir, and Kashyyyk. That's all I've been to.
No, I don't want to spoil layers of combat for people. I mentioned all the layers of combat in the review because PR said it was okay. So I was like, all right, I'm going to mention it. But I think by now I can at least talk about this. You can obviously acquire a double-ended lightsaber in this game. And I think even in the marketing, I think people knew this already, because you look at his lightsaber on posters.
Before I even knew it.
Yeah, well, that. And also, if you look at the initial poster, his lightsaber hilt is broken on one end. Mm-hmm. So I think that's clear that, like, well, obviously this was a double-ended lightsaber at some point.
Yeah.
But what I loved about this is that it isn't, I mean, I think it's eventually sort of forced upon you, but you can actually discover that second emitter for your lightsaber on accident, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's what I did, actually.
Did you find it on Pagano?
No. Oh, yes. Well, I think I thought I did something on Zepho, then I went back to Pagano and found it. But
maybe
I did just find it on Pagano.
Yeah, that's what I did. And that was an awesome moment for me. I loved that it isn't like a huge story moment. Like, oh, crap, it's time to upgrade the lightsaber.
Here's the other thing, though. You could also find it on Dathomir, and I heard it was cooler if you found it there.
Well, see, Preston told me that he looked it up and said it was not as cool as finding it on your own on Pagano, because he said on Dathomir, he basically attaches it and doesn't really say much. But on Pagano, he has a reason. He's like, oh, this was Endo Cordova's lightsaber hilt. I should totally attach it to mine.
Yeah, I do remember that, yeah.
So I think that's more interesting, that he finds this guy that's been guiding him through this quest. He finds his part of his lightsaber and attaches it.
I guess people were happy that they found it on Dathomir, because that's where Darth Maul was, and he is known for having a double-bladed lightsaber.
Yeah, that's a cool callback for sure, like a tip of the hat, definitely. I think narratively it's more interesting to find it on Pagano, but I can see why, as fans of Darth Maul especially, it's also cool to find it there.
Yeah, I know Frosty from our Discord in particular was freaking out about that planet. He was like, dude, go there immediately.
Nice. Yeah.
But I've gotten to that point where you have to jump that gap, so I can't progress yet.
Okay, yeah. That's what's great about the versions of the lightsaber in the game, is that all of them have a very specific purpose. Like double-ended is almost entirely designed for crowd control. You can use it with any enemy, but it is very effective for crowd control, especially when you unlock all the abilities. Yeah. It's very effective when you're surrounded by guys and can just go to town with the double-ended lightsaber. So I love being able to switch between double-ended, single hilt, and everything, and then applying force powers to all that just makes combat more and more interesting as you go along.
Yeah, dude, I just got a combo that you press a couple buttons and it starts at the single, then it transitions into the double throughout the combo. It's so cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, I loved the way the combat was designed. It was a ton of fun, and I'm trying to think of anything we're overlooking here. I know there's a lot packed into this game.
How do you feel about learning the new abilities as you're progressing through the game? not the actual skill tree, but when you have your flashbacks to when you were younger, learning how to master the Force.
Yeah, I think being trained. I think it's a cool way to do, tutorials. It's far more interesting than Cal being I remember, and let's try this thing, and running along a wall. I think it's cool that it flashes back, so you can get a glimpse of Cal's journey as a Padawan with his master. And I thought the payoff to those flashbacks was cool too, because they all culminate in that big Order 66 sequence. So I like those a lot. It kind of gives you an idea of Cal's master and what he was all about and his journey to becoming a Jedi. So I thought it was cool. That's what I like. I don't want to spoil that sequence for anyone, but I liked it a lot. What else are we kind of overlooking?
Talked about combat,
talked about story. I will say, you haven't beaten the game, have you?
Not even close. I think I'm about halfway.
Yeah, pretty gnarly conclusion, to say the least.
Yeah.
I've heard people saying, this quest ends in a way where they're like, oh, what was the point of all this? And I realized that And I won't spoil it for anyone, but in the end, to me, the story is ultimately about these characters discovering who they really are after this horrible event that was Order 66 and the rise of the Empire. And them conquering themselves and overcoming their past and truly embracing the present and going into the future with a newfound sense of purpose and a mission. And I like that a lot. And I think the sequel, narratively and even gameplay, Respawn is going to knock it out of the park. Because I think as well as they did with this game and as much as I love it, I think they're going to just completely top it with the sequel in terms of combat, exploration, story. And I think because of the critical success, and I assume to be the financial success, EA will allow them, not really just EA, but Lucasfilm will allow them to have even more creative liberty. And I think that's when we'll see, you know, like far more, even cosmetically, far more variety with Cal's outfits, new combos with gameplay, new planets to explore. They might
better looking Wookiees.
Yeah, improve the look of the Wookiees. Ran out of time on the Wookiees there, but more planets to explore. And they're just going to expand everything exponentially, I believe. And just top it in every way. So that's why I'm excited. I mean, this is just an excellent starting point. And that's what's fun is that while it is a culmination of many different genres of gameplay, it is just a really fun single-player Star Wars game.
Yeah.
And I think because of that, we'll see just a ton of improvement with the sequel. And they may even have more creative liberty. They may even implement a style of gameplay that's more akin to something they've done themselves versus just drawing from other sources. But yeah. That's what's good is that while they did draw from many other styles of gameplay from other games, they implemented them very well, which I think is applause worthy for sure.
I think the best praise that I can give this game is that it's probably the funnest game that I've played this year. And it's also a game that's also like made me want to come back and play the most. And it's the game that's left me wanting to explore its world the most. And yeah. I think it nails it on all three of those fronts. I think it's pretty safe to say that this is my game of the year, Garrett.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan myself.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so this is just an easy win for me and for that game.
Yeah, that's what's exciting. Like I said, I've done everything you can do, but I actually do want to go back and play it again on like a harder difficulty. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd play all the way through it again, but I do want to just play it more because I had so much fun with it.
I do want to play it again. I don't know if I will, though. I am playing on Jedi Master, which is like the second to hardest.
Yeah, Preston claims that's the best difficulty setting.
Yeah, it's perfect. Like, there's a lot of challenge. Like, sometimes, you know, bosses kill me a couple times. I have to learn how they move, how they attack.
Right.
And, you know, it's never too hard to actually complete anything.
Yeah, I wanted to say, we didn't talk too much about boss fights, but I love how Inquisitor specifically... breaking their defensive stamina is far more demanding than just say any standard enemy. So that I mean, I like that because one, it's more challenging, but also it just makes it more cinematic because you are truly having like a lightsaber duel up until you can actually attack them. So it makes those boss fights especially exciting. I feel like I did cheese one boss fight. I won't spoil what it is. It's on Dathomir, but that boss fight was just remarkably easy to me. I don't think I got hit once, and you'd think this thing you're fighting would just massacre you. And I don't know if I was cheesing it or I was just really good at dodging, but it was not very challenging. But I loved the lightsaber fights in the game. I thought they were awesome.
Hmm. I'm trying to get better at parrying. Like, there's like so many games where I always dodge, but then I like read in the text, like whatever, it's like some little lore entry, like about the person. That like after you kill something, you get like a little entry about them.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, you can parry their swings. And I was like, oh, I had no idea. He's just throwing fists.
Right.
But yeah. So I'm just, you know, I'm always learning new stuff. It just makes the game even more exciting because you know next time you can approach the fight a little differently than the first time you took it down.
Definitely. And how do you feel about the Dark Souls aspect where you lose your XP and you have to replenish your health? Yeah, I love it too because I like
it. It encourages you to not give up and go and try and kill that enemy again.
Definitely. Yeah, I did like it a lot. Would the game be totally different without that system? I don't think so.
Probably not.
But it's a thing and I like it.
I don't think it does anything but help the game. I don't think there's any scenario where it takes anything away from it.
Yeah. So, I like that too, because I think it works in the sense of the world that Cal's into, because he is becoming a Jedi Knight. He's not a Jedi Master by any means. So I like that he can be threatened by a group of stormtroopers or an Inquisitor. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's what's going to be tricky for Respawn going into the sequels. Like, where do they start and how do they build upon where he's at? Because you can't just go back to be like, oh, I'm disconnected from the Force again. I lost all my powers. So you would have to start the game, you know, with push, pull, slow, wall running, at least some of the combat combos you have. So that's what's going to be challenging for them. It's kind of like Insomniac with Spider-Man. It's like you acquire so much in that game. How do you begin the next game?
That's a good point. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure there's a way. I'm not a game designer, but I'm sure they'll think of something. But yeah. What other powers can, I guess mind trick could be one, but how do you make that interesting? Like, I guess if there's a group of enemies, you can mind trick one to attack the others, but you can kind of do that with BD-1. So when he hacks droids and stuff to join your side, that's a cool upgrade. I like BD-1 a lot, by the way. I thought he was one of the most adorable droids in Star Wars history. And I like that he contributes to gameplay as well, you know, like opening doors, scanning stuff for you. Also, I think his greatest ability is just hacking other droids to join your side is really effective.
Yeah, I love that he just, you know, jumps off your back. Anytime there's something there that he can interact with, he'll go over there and he'll make some noise. You go over, scan something, or you interact with something in the environment to change your traversal.
Right.
It's all really cool. And I just think him and Cal have good camaraderie.
Yeah.
As a duo.
And I've been trying to guess, like, I think there will be a decent time jump between this and the next game. And
yeah, I do too.
I wonder if Cal will have long hair like Obi-Wan in Clone Wars, or if they're going to just buzz his head. I don't know what would look more like a Jedi Knight. But I think Respawn likes to show off their physics engine, or I guess Unreal's physics engine. So they'll probably have him have long flowing hair, I would guess.
I'd like that.
But not that even that matters to anything, but I just assume he's going to look way cooler in the sequel, not rock his poncho anymore.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But I look forward to it, man. I imagine if we're lucky, maybe another few years, we'll see a sequel to this game. I don't know if they'll call it Fallen Order 2 or like Jedi Rise of the Order or something, but I don't know. But I'm excited about it, man. And that's what's great is that we're in a wonderful season for Star Wars. We have this killer single-player experience, and we also have The Mandalorian that's doing pretty well.
Yes, it is.
Is there anything else you want to touch on for Fallen Order before we move on?
I don't think so, man. Just haven't finished the game yet, but I do intend to by this week.
Awesome. Yeah, I look forward to hearing your thoughts and the ending and the rest of the game and all the exploration you have to do.
Yeah, definitely. If you guys listening haven't played this game yet, please do yourself a favor and pick it up. It's quite the treat.
It's a good one.
Especially if you're a Star Wars boy.
Oh, yeah.
Or gal.
So Mandalorian, I have a lot of thoughts on this, but I'm interested to hear yours first.
Okay, so as of recording this, we've seen 2 episodes, correct?
That is correct.
I really like the show. I like it a lot. I like how both episodes had completely different, I guess almost like tones. Like they were just completely different from each other. One was, you know, a lot more aggressive, a lot more action-packed. The other one was also action-packed, but also had some more heartfelt moments, some cool discoveries, just that kind of stuff. But yeah, overall, really like the show. I love most of the characters that we've met so far. I know Mandalorians are sort of mysterious in a way, or at least this one seems to be, but I really want to know more about this guy. And I assume they're going to do that as the show goes on. But I really just don't know a lot about this guy, and I don't know why I should care about him. And I assume that's going to develop with this thing that he found in the first episode at the end of it. So I really want to see where that goes, but right now I'm just kind of watching it and consuming it because I don't know who I should care about and why. But obviously everyone's seen the little baby Yoda memes everywhere. which, by the way, he looks adorable. Like, it must be the cutest looking alien I've ever seen.
I know. I can't even. I'm actually literally looking at a picture of him as we speak.
Dude, every time I see him, I like smile. He just makes me happy.
One of the cutest things I've ever seen.
And like, obviously, I don't think there's no way it could be Yoda, right?
I've heard a lot of theories. I've heard people theorize that it could be a Yoda clone because that scientist guy with the glasses and whatever. I don't know anyone's names. But that guy that's like, bounty hunting is a complicated profession, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
In that office with the stormtroopers, there was like a guy that looked like a scientist. Apparently, he had a patch that was the patch of like the cloning company or whatever. I'm horrible at terminology in Star Wars, but supposedly this guy works with clones or something. Okay. So I think that's why they want him alive. They either want to clone this Yoda baby or they think this Yoda baby is a clone of the actual Yoda. It's confusing because everyone's calling him Baby Yoda, but no one actually knows the name of his species. Yeah. And it's clearly strong with the Force. So
Yeah.
Something going on there. But in terms of the Mandalorian himself, I think the most insightful reviews you can watch are Star Wars Explained reviews, because he has such a deep knowledge and understanding of Star Wars that I think his take is probably the most accurate, or just his assumption of where this story is going. He thinks, because I was actually taken aback by how sort of goofy the Mandalorian is, because I was expecting him to be just a total badass Western bounty hunter, because, you know, most of us, especially myself, have just built up bounty hunters to be these badass characters that don't really have any issues and are just always cool. But then I think about Boba Fett, and he went out like a total idiot in Return of the Jedi. But I think it's kind of cool, because supposedly, you know, the Mandalorians in this era are not forgotten or down in their luck, but they're kind of struggling. And you can kind of see that in the Mandalorian, is that he's not making a whole lot of money. He's only given small jobs, and he's investing them into upgrading his armor and his weapons.
Yeah.
And he, Star Wars Explained guy, thinks that this story will be about, ultimately about the Mandalorian and just the Mandalorians kind of regaining their status, I guess, and their strength.
Okay.
And he sort of, he'll probably grow into more of a badass, not have these ridiculous experiences. Like, as much as I like the scene of him climbing up the Jawa, whatever you call those things, land cruisers or whatever, and getting hit with rocks and electrocuted at the end and left for dead. I think it's funny. I enjoy it, but yeah. I assume he'll have a little more wit and skill as the story progresses. But
he'll upgrade as he progresses through his game.
Right. So I do like the characters a lot. I like the practicality of the characters. You can tell a lot of them are like practical mixed with VFX, which I think is, that's always the best way to do everything, is a mix between practical and VFX, what makes it truly believable. So the show looks beautiful. I'm definitely invested in the story. As short of the episodes are, that is kind of a bummer for me. But at least they're not dragging things on and having unnecessary plot points drawn out for no reason. It's very straight and to the point with each episode so far.
Yeah, I want to speak about this a little bit. I think that, like, just overall, I think Star Wars, it fits, like, this, like, consuming Star Wars in a TV show style, I think it works perfectly. Like, I don't see any problems with it. Even with the episodes being a little shorter, I don't really mind that much. It does suck that there's only, like, 10 of them, I think, and they're only this long. That kind of sucks overall, but I think it's plenty of time to tell a good enough story. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I still like it a lot. I'm really excited for episode 3. I'm definitely interested. It's not what I expected at all, which is great. I mean, it's a good way, because, you know, not that they're intentionally trying to, what do they say, subvert expectations, but my expectations, I think, were naturally subverted because the character is not exactly how I imagined him to be, and the story is playing out in a way that I also did not expect at all. And I think it's interesting that the majority of the trailers were all drawn from the first episode for the most part. So there's a whole lot of story left to unravel. But I will say the main theme song, dude, initially threw me off because it didn't sound much of anything like Star Wars. But the more I've listened to it, the more I think it's amazing.
Yeah. And not only this soundtrack, but Jedi Fallen Order soundtrack is really good.
It is good. Yeah. Yeah. I like
a lot
of the
opening song that plays like as you play, like, you know, in the opening of the game.
Yeah, the main theme in that game is also really beautiful. But I love how the Mandalorian theme is a mix of, you know, like a spaghetti western, has some like tribal religious accents to it, sort of in line with, you know, the Mandalorian's religion. And then it has like the bombastic roaring orchestra in it as well that feels more Star Wars. So it's a really cool mix that I thought really works well for the song or the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I cannot wait for more, man.
Me too, man. I don't really want to spoil anything. Don't want to talk about the story, but overall, really enjoying it so far. And I kind of mentioned this earlier, but I don't know if you heard me. I like that it comes out on Fridays. It's a good day.
Me too.
Gives me something to look forward to start out the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can live, too, with the waiting each week. I know I hadn't thought about it until someone mentioned it, but they think that the main reason in Disney doing that is that so that people won't join the service, binge through a show, and just unsubscribe after that.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, from a business standpoint, I totally get it. But I also am totally fine with waiting for episodes like an old school TV show because you can stew on each episode. Granted, it's not much to stew on because the episodes are so short, but I'm cool with it. So yeah, I like
it. Also,
and it gives you something to look forward to on Fridays as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And it gives us a talking point for podcasts.
Definitely. I don't know. Maybe we can start with next week reviewing each episode. It'd be kind of fun and talking about predictions and where we think the story is going and everything.
Maybe we could even do spoilers too if we like do it at the end.
Right. For sure. But yeah, that's what's exciting is that, you know, Fallen Order is awesome. Mandalorian's great. Now we can only hope that Rise of Skywalker doesn't blow.
Yeah.
And with it being JJ, I am, like I said, it's going to be entertaining at the very least. I think there will be a lot to enjoy. And I think both Lucasfilm, Disney, and Abrams himself just want to give fans as much satisfaction as possible. So mm-hmm. I think we're going to have some awesome theory for Rey that comes true. We're going to have old characters show up somehow as Force Ghost or some sort of vision. I mean, we're literally going to get all of it in this movie just so Disney and Lucasfilm can put this trilogy to rest. Be like, at least we capped it with what fans wanted to see.
Yeah.
So, and of course, I hope there's something that surprises me in the movie. But I rewatched the original trilogy this week entirely. And I was reminded of just how much I love those movies. And even to this day, there's like dialogue and bits of story that just I'd overlooked before that's kind of revealed to me.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting. And a lot of it, I feel like, really could play into this new trilogy. And I cannot wait. And I was watching really closely to all of them for hints of where they could draw from for Rey's story and how the Emperor could come back and stuff. So that was fun too while I was watching them. But yeah, that's going to be here before we know it. It's very close. I mean, I think it's almost exactly 30 days from now, Rise that's of Skywalker. Crazy. So yeah, man, awesome time for Star Wars, and I just want more and more of it. It's kind of, you know, between Fallen Order and Mandalorian, my interest in Star Wars and love for it is kind of reignited. So oh,
same, yeah.
I can only hope that Rise of Skywalker is awesome.
Yeah, I'm in like full Star Wars mode right now. It's a great feeling.
Yeah. So yeah, I think we've covered everything Mandalorian and Fallen Order. I don't think we're forgetting anything, are we?
Yeah, let's get off Star Wars.
All right, what do you got next for us, Jacob? That's all I really had on my end.
So I've been playing another game that I've pretty much been splitting my time with. It's a little game called Pokemon Shield.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I think Preston's playing too. Let me hear your thoughts.
So I'm about, I would say maybe here, I can check my save. I have played 9 hours. I've caught 58 Pokemon, which is probably what I've spent majority of my time doing, which you do for the most part in the wild area, Garrett, which is it's that like big open area that you can always come back to in the game where there's always wild Pokemon roaming around. It's a big, open, huge area. Depending what type of weather is coming down at the time, it changes like what Pokemon spawn in, what you see, and you know, how strong they are sometimes too. And speaking of how strong they are, depending how many badges you have determines how high of a level you can catch. So if you don't have any badges, I think you can only catch up to level like 20, I think. But once you get your first badge, it's 25, then to 30, and so on, so forth. So I'm mainly just catching a lot of Pokemon. I have 2 badges so far. And that's another thing. The gym battles in this game, Garrett, they're incredible. Like, overall, they don't really do anything different besides the Dynamaxing, which is like where the Pokemon turn huge, which I'm sure you've seen in the previews.
Yeah.
But just the whole like sequence of doing a gym battle now is so cool. So when you first walk into a gym, you have to change into your like gym uniform. So you look like you're, you know, like a, that's like a big competition. It's really cool. And you can like change your outfit and stuff. But first, before you can challenge the gym leader, you have to like do a gym challenge, which is basically like, so the first one, I'll spoil it. You're literally herding sheep. Like, you're herding this Pokemon called Wooloo, and you're trying to get it to go to a certain way. And there's like obstacles, and there's like there's this other dog Pokemon that comes around and tries to, you know, scatter the herd. So you just have to like redirect your character to try to move the sheep into a certain area to progress through the level. But you also get challenged by trainers throughout this. So it's like old gyms in that way too, where you're still getting challenged by trainers leading up to the gym leader. Once you complete that challenge, you challenge the gym leader, and there's this whole thing where you like walk down the tunnel onto the field, the battlefield, and you approach the gym leader. You guys like shake hands, and then you like walk back to your spots. Then you each throw out your first Pokemon and like epic music starts playing. It's just really cool. And then you like hear all the, like you're in a huge stadium too. Like every single gym is in a town that has a huge stadium. Like every, like the, I think the whole Galar region is just obsessed with Pokemon like battles. Like the whole thing called the Gym Challenge. It's kind of like, you know, how we consume football or something. Like it's just on a big grand scale. People love it. Like it was funny. I was talking to this NPC and I click A on him and he goes, "I quit my job to watch the Pokemon League." And I was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you two? You quit your job just to watch Pokemon battles, you loser." But going back to the gym battles, dude, they're just so epic and with the really cool music playing. And they're not hard by any means. Like Pokemon's gotten pretty easy over the years. But that moment when you like, how do you say it? Gigantamax, I think it's called, where you like, you know, you press the button and your Pokemon just grows, you know, into like a monstrous wrecking machine. And you pretty much just destroy everything, but the opponent also does it too. So it can create some pretty cool moments where you're, you know, you have to maneuver your opponent, or, you know, he's going to crush you with his overpowered giant monster. So I haven't really had any trouble in terms of, you know, losing Pokemon, losing a battle or anything like that. But, and the game is pretty easy, like I said. But it's just fun, you know, collecting all the Pokemon, progressing through the story. One annoying thing is your rival, his name is Hop. He's the brother, little brother of the champion in the game. The champion's like the equivalent of Lance. Have you ever played through a Pokemon game, Garrett?
I have not played all the way through one.
Okay, well, the champion's like the last guy you fight after the Elite Four. He's like, you know, the ultimate challenge. And, you know, this guy's brother is the champion, so it's kind of cool in that regard. But he's kind of annoying. Every time you use like a super effective move against one of his Pokemon, he'll be like, "Oh, I see you learned how to do type advantages." And he does it every time. So it's like, yeah, dude, I'm like 9 hours into the game. What do you expect? He's just a little dumb idiot. But a lot of the other characters are cool. It's kind of early to give my full thoughts on the game, but just, you know, initially I'm really enjoying it. I've crafted a team that I'm pretty excited about. Right now I have a toxic electric Pokemon, a grass, a dark, a flying, a rock and fire, and a water Pokemon. So I got a nice variety there. I'm still not sold on a couple of them, but I do definitely, I went with the grass starter. I went with Grookey, but I know he evolves into a pretty cool Pokemon at the end. So that's mainly why I picked him. But yeah, just really enjoying the game. I don't want to spoil anything or, you know, give any more thoughts because I've only seen a little bit of the game. But I'm enjoying it so far. It's a good time. And it's a nice change up. Like, I'm playing... Actually, there's another thing. It looks kind of shitty on handheld. And I don't know why, but I've been playing mostly in docked mode on my TV, and it looks fantastic in 1080p. And the battle... Like, the actual battles themselves, like the models and... the effects, they look better than they ever have. But the world, like especially the wild area, looks pretty underwhelming in terms of aesthetics. Like it's kind of like Breath of the Wild, but even worse. Not that Breath of the Wild looked terrible, but it was kind of, you know, it was bland at times and there wasn't a lot going on. This is like that in an extreme sense where there's just nothing going on besides Pokemon running around sometimes. So it could look better, and I would hope it does. If they ever do this sort of thing again, hopefully it would look better, and there would be more going on later down the road in other generations. But overall, I'm enjoying it a lot, and I think it's worth picking up, especially if you like Pokemon.
Yeah, I would love to play it. I think it's the perfect time for me to play something like that if I had not lost my Switch, which is just a shame.
That's a bummer, dude.
So I determined that I will not be able to afford a Switch until... I have a new job, truly. So I have no disposable income whatsoever. So I am switchless for the foreseeable future, unfortunately. But it looks awesome. I'm a very, very moderate Pokemon fan. I've always been thoroughly interested in the franchise, but I've not really given it much of my time or energy. Loved the show as a kid, never played all the way through a game, but I recognize that people love those games. And it's complicated for me because hardcore Pokemon game fans in particular seem to be really upset with the positive reviews for this game. And I don't know enough to even understand why they're mad. I've read the comments, but I still don't get why they're so upset.
There are several reasons, but yeah.
But I think it looks great, and I definitely want to play it one day, in addition to thousands of other games I want to play one day.
Just as a casual fan that likes playing through the games once and just having that experience of building my new and unique team with Pokemon that were just released in this generation, I always find that really satisfying. Because I usually don't play them more than once. I just like having that one experience where it's a brand new experience. I go all the way through the game, do everything I can, and then I put it down. That's it. So that's what I'm going to do. But yeah, dude, Pokemon's cool. Is there anything else you want to talk about before I bring up some minor news points? Garrett. Are you there?
Yeah, one sec.
I'm waiting.
News. I want to talk about the Sonic trailer a bit.
Okay.
not much, but I just got one. I got to say, huge applause to the VFX teams that recreated Sonic, and he looks
100%.
Awesome.
100%.
Yeah. And so when you put the two side by side, it is unbelievable that they chose to go with that original design. What were they thinking, dude? Holy crap. Because it just reminded me, I'm like, even initially when I saw that trailer, I'm like, why are they going for the creepy, realistic look when they could just go like Who Framed Roger Rabbit and just have an animated cartoonish character in the real world is more interesting anyway. And it makes sense because he's from a different planet. So why not just make him look as cartoony as possible? So I think he looks awesome. And I definitely want, I don't think the movie looks good, but I want to see it because of the effort they put into it. And I do think this trailer was a lot more fun than the previous trailer. So it looks like, if anything, just a dumb, fun action adventure movie with Sonic the Hedgehog and has Jim Carrey in it. So,
and it could actually turn out to be a pretty good video game movie because the bar is pretty low there.
Yeah. So I am interested, and I can almost guarantee we'll see Tails and other characters show up at the end or something.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think it'd be cool. I definitely want to go see it because of that, and just to support and I wasn't one of the people that really complained to the point where I was like, if they don't fix this, F them. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, when I first saw that trailer, I was like, well, that looks awful. But the fact that they spent that, I think it was the reported $35 million to redesign Sonic. I think the total was about $125 million at the end of the day to produce this movie. So I definitely want to go see it.
Yeah.
Just to support him, because I think that's awesome. But
I think it'll do well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to go out and support, the studio for what they did.
I think so, too. And I think a lot of families will take their kids to see it, even if they're completely unaware that this redesign even happened, because it just looks like a dumb,
this might
fun
be really
movie
good
to take
for
their
Sonic.
Kids to. So.
This could do great things for Sonic. I don't know what Sega really wants to do with the franchise and the character itself, but... it could spur a new generation of Sonic fans.
Right. I would hope that they would drop the live action aspect and just make a really cool animated Sonic movie at the end of the day. Why not?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or maybe even bring the real world characters into the animated world, make the whole movie animated.
Yeah, that could be cool.
So.
I don't really care that much about Sonic, though. I want to go see it just because I want to support those guys for listening to the community.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I don't care about Sonic at all. But I'm sure it'll be a decent movie. Do you want to talk about what Valve announced yesterday?
Sure.
So just in a random tweet that I saw, Valve is making a new Half-Life game. But there's a twist. It's called Half-Life Axel or A-L-Y-X. What is that? Alex? it's called Half-Life Alyx VR. And it's scheduled to be revealed this Thursday. So, Garrett, I want to ask you, is this the Half-Life 3 we've been waiting for? This VR game? a lot of people are getting excited about it, but we don't really know anything about it yet. And I wonder what it's going to be. We know that Valve's been making VR or working on VR games. Didn't know it was going to be Half-Life. I don't know if you've played Half-Life games, but I haven't. So I don't really... know anything about the universe, what this game could be, or anything like that. But I just want to see if you had any thoughts on it, and just to mention that it was going to be revealed this Thursday.
I don't really have any thoughts on it. I've never played through Half-Life. Okay. Maybe I should at some point, but
yeah, maybe I should too.
I think it's cool that they're developing a VR game in the Half-Life world. Maybe it's Half-Life 3 in disguise. How cool would that be if people play? I mean, I'm sure people would be disappointed because it's a VR game, but
yeah.
Imagine they play all the way through this VR game and the title flashes at the end, like Half-Life 3 or something.
Oh my God, people would lose their shit.
Yeah, they would. But yeah, I think it's cool. I don't have any strong opinions about it, but
okay. Yeah, cool. I just wanted to mention it. And the other thing that I saw, this might have been a couple of days ago. No, actually, I think it was yesterday too. A leaked patent for the DualShock 5 has been found online, and it seems to have smaller joysticks, just a little bit. It seems they've gotten rid of the light bar, and I think there's a, what is it called, a USB-C port added. Yeah, overall, it looks like, I don't know if you've seen like any pictures of this thing, but it kind of looks like a SCUF PS4 controller. Like, not in the sense that it has the triggers on the bottom, but it just looks a little bulkier. Like almost like a Xbox One controller in a way. But right. It still looks like a DualShock. I think it looks good if these are, you know, indeed leaked images of this controller. Does those things sound appealing to you? Do you have something that you really want to be on the new controller that's not mentioned here?
I mean, I'm open to it. I didn't have really any problems with the DualShock 4. I think it's an excellent controller. I love the way it feels, but I'm open to them experimenting with a new controller. I would assume also if they're going backwards compatible with games, like why wouldn't they not do the same for the controller? Like what if you could use a DualShock 4 or a DualShock 5?
Yeah, you probably can, I imagine.
But I think the idea is that they're, you know, this patent sound fine. I've heard that they're going to offset the analog sticks potentially.
Yeah, that's mentioned here too.
Okay. I mean, that's fine too. I mean, I don't mind because I think the DualShock 4 analog sticks are spread out appropriately versus like the DualShock 3. I thought those analog sticks were awful. I think every PS PlayStation controller leading up the DualShock 4 is pretty bad. But I think the 4 is great, and I'm open to the new ideas. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it looks very similar to the 4.
Yeah, I mean, a new controller is part of new hardware. It's just kind of exciting anyway. Like, I'll never forget holding the DualShock 4 for the first time. Just got me even more excited for PS4.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I hope they don't mimic the bumpers on Xbox One's controller, because as much as I love the Xbox One controller, I think the bumpers feel terrible. And I still think the bumpers on the 360 controller feel better. But it looks awesome. I think the Xbox One controller is gorgeous. But I don't like the triggers are great, but I don't like the bumpers too much. But yeah, as long as they don't change too much on the DualShock 5, I'll be fine with it.
Yeah, it still has the touchpad on the top, but I'm not sure if it's bigger. It almost looks a little bigger.
I will say I love the touchpad. I think it's excellent because you can use it in so many different ways.
I think there's cool ways that games could be using it, and they're just not.
Yeah, and even like the gimmicky stuff, like I think Killzone Shadowfall had like you could swipe up on it and do all these different things. I don't really need that, but I love that it serves as an extra button to not whether you're pulling up a map, and you can even segment it too. Like there's the middle part of it, there's the right and left part of the touchpad. Yeah. You can use it for like all sorts of different things. So
I've been using it for my map in Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, it's quite often a map button for many games, but
yeah. In Witcher 3, you swiped up and it was the map.
Right. So I like the touchpad a lot.
Yeah. I like it too. Is there anything else I want to bring up before we just jump into like the announcement of Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2? Like, I don't want to like spend a lot of time talking about those because it's just old news at this point, but like, I assume you watched the cinematics for at least Diablo 4, right?
I did, yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of gameplay as well.
Yeah. Dude, I'm hyped out of my mind for that game. I know it's not coming anytime soon. Probably not till 2021 or 2022. But my God, it looks like everything I want in a game. The dark setting. That cinematic was beautiful, by the way. It's almost like a little movie. They're going to announce more classes. I assume there's at least going to be 5 at release. But the Barbarian just looks like everything I want in a Diablo game. And I love how it's going to be more realistic. The world's more grounded. It's a little more creepy. As a Diablo fan, I've only played 3. So I don't know how 2 was in terms of like playing it myself. but I've watched videos of people playing it. I've watched walkthroughs. I've consumed Diablo 2 content, so I know what that's like. And I think this does harken a lot back to that sort of style of game and also art style. But is there anything you want to bring up? Are you excited for this game? Did you like the cinematic? That kind of thing.
I'm very excited. Obviously, they said they have no idea when it's coming out, but mm-hmm. it looks really cool. It looks like I've never played any Diablo aside from 3, but I've heard the two comparisons are out there. It has a darker tone. And it looks like a lot of fun. I just cannot wait for more Diablo.
Mm-hmm. If you had to pick between these three classes, the barbarian, the druid, and the, what was it, wizard or sorcerer?
Yeah. I think I'm most drawn to the barbarian. You said barbarian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that he can transform into animals and stuff. That's pretty cool.
Well, that's what the druid does.
Excuse me. That's what I'm interested in then.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think the druid wasn't in 3, but it was in 2.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see him come back.
Definitely. Yeah, I can't wait for it. I'm eagerly anticipating that release whenever it happens.
Mm,
yeah. I will say, I think Overwatch 2 is like the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life, personally.
It's very confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, I get it. From a marketing standpoint, they want to sell copies, they want to make money, and a sequel will always sell more than a glorified DLC, and that's exactly what this feels like. And I'm not being one of those assholes that's like, saying it's a totally negative thing. I'm going to probably want to play it, but Overwatch never seemed like a game that needed a sequel to me. It just seems like one of those games you just build upon. I mean, right. There literally would have been no difference if they have standard Overwatch and just add on this new element of story to it with new skins. I mean,
that's
it's
literally what they're
the
doing, though. Like, yeah. That's what they're doing. They're keeping the online multiplayer as the multiplayer component of the game. And you're going to be able to play with Overwatch 1 people in multiplayer.
Yeah.
So... But also they're throwing on this campaign mode, this co-op campaign mode, and these character missions that they're really trying to sell the game on, which that stuff looks great. I think that's what I've always really wanted in Overwatch. I think this world deserves more storytelling, and we're getting that. And I like that they're updating all the visuals for all the characters too. I think that's cool because it kind of shows like the progression of time, these characters actually reforming and actually being Overwatch again. Because, in the first game, they were kind of broken up. At least, I think they were. So they're reforming the group. I think that's cool in itself. I really like the cinematic that they showed. I thought that was really cool. Arguably the best one they showed. But as a player or a fan of Overwatch, I don't know. I found it really hard to get back into the game. I just don't have that drive or interest like I used to. And I don't know why. Like, I still really like that world and the characters, but I don't know. Like, my interests are elsewhere lately, and I haven't really wanted to go back and visit that game or, anything like that. But, if Overwatch 2 comes out, whenever it does, I'll be getting it. I want to at least play the single player for sure.
Yeah, I'll be right there with you because I miss playing Overwatch with you. We had some good times.
Yeah, we did. Not much on PC, but on PS4 we did.
Yeah, I know this is random. I'd love to play some more Call of Duty with you, as I haven't been able to play in a while.
Dude, I haven't played in like a month.
I know if you're buried in Star Wars, I get that, but yeah, I'm going to play some Call of Duty this week, I think.
Maybe let me know. Maybe I'll hop on if I'm free.
Oh, yeah. Anything newsworthy we're forgetting about? I mean, I know we've been gone for 2 weeks.
I don't have any articles on me, but you didn't pick up Death Stranding, did you?
No, I did not. I'm actually trying to decide if I want to play that next or Outer Worlds next.
Oh, that's a tough decision.
Yeah, I don't. I still don't know if I, because I kind of get.
I'd probably go Outer Worlds.
I think I'd rather just find out whatever people think the story is in Death Stranding, because to me, like, I get there are some cool moments that you can experience in the game, but I think overall I'd be bored out of my mind playing that.
Yeah, I don't know if you're gonna have fun. Like, maybe you will. I don't know though.
And I get people like, oh, it's all about the journey and like it all pays off in the end and there's some cool deliveries you do. But I think at the end of the day, I would just not really enjoy that too much. So I'd rather just read about it later or watch a video about it later, someone just talking about it in depth. But I think it's cool. Like, I love that Hideo Kojima was completely uncaged in developing this game exactly how he wanted it to be and that it exists. And people that have played it, for the most part, seem to be really into it, which is great. And I like that Sony was willing to allow Kojima to have that creative liberty So I'm interested to see where they go from here as a studio. I know they've talked about possibly producing films, and I'm sure they have more games planned, but I'm glad that it exists, but I don't think it's for me. And I know it's not quite fair to say because I haven't played it, but I don't think I'm even willing to pay the money to play it when I've seen a lot of it in action. I've heard a lot about it and heard many different opinions. Yeah. I think through all of that, I know whether or not I'd truly enjoy it. So I'm probably going to skip it. But
yeah, I just know, like, deep down, I have other experiences that I want to take care of first. And by the time I ever get around to Death Stranding, it's probably just going to be too late. I don't know.
And I think this time of year when it's cold outside, and I know this is probably random to some people, but I like that it's cold and it's winter break. And I think just jumping into a fun action RPG like Outer Worlds sounds cool.
Yeah.
So same. That's probably what I'll do next.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to play Outer Worlds. I do, but I don't know if I will, because it's a big investment. Like, do I want to start a whole new game, or do I want to keep grinding rep and WoW, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
It's a tough choice.
Yeah, talking about all these games, man, I want to play Star Wars. I want to play Call of Duty. I want to play all this stuff.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a gamer right now. Lots of cool stuff.
It's a great time to be a Star Wars fan, too.
Yes, that too.
And I never thought I'd say that again.
I actually need to go here fairly soon. So should we wrap up with some community questions?
Well, let's do it, brother.
All right, dude, bring us in.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so, so much, even in our absence, writing in and week out with community questions that fuel the latter half of our conversation. It is always by far and wide our favorite aspect of every episode. We love connecting with you guys directly and having random conversations, whether it's gaming related, life related, whatever it may be. We always get excited about it and cannot thank you enough for your continued support. If you'd like your questions read live on the show, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming. Or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. And if you want your questions read live on the show, always include the hashtag #AskIOG so that we know you want them read and we don't accidentally read your private messages. All that out of the way, Jacob, let me pull up Discord. I apologize, not remotely prepared to read questions. I don't even know where our last one ends and where it begins.
Yeah, I'm trying to look and see if I see one that looks familiar where we ended.
Okay, I think there's one from Kyle about BlizzCon.
Okay, we can do that.
From like 3 weeks ago.
Well, if we don't answer it now, then we're never going to.
Yeah, so this comes from Kyle. He says, oh yeah, Bohongales, Bohongales. Jingles the reindeer this time of year. He says, fellas, oh my lordy, BlizzCon has been a lot to take in. Diablo 4, Overwatch 2, WoW Shadowlands. Lots of exciting stuff, I'm sure, mostly for Jacob. So cool.
Yeah, yeah.
How excited are y'all and how much of your money will you be going towards the future of China and their market pressure? All memes aside, what did you think about the announcement and Blizzard's apology, quote unquote? It doesn't have the internet happy at all, but I guess an empty apology is better than none at all. What do you guys think?
So the answer is first question, how much am I going to be spending my money towards China? Apparently a lot, because I'm going to be getting all of these experiences. all three of those I'm going to be investing in, especially, like, I know we didn't talk about it, but WoW Shadowlands, Garrett, it has me insanely hyped. Man, I didn't really want to bring it up because I know you just can't really relate to it, but that, like, that cinematic especially, whew, that was spicy. I don't know if you saw it.
I did see it. It's pretty cool.
Oh, it was epic.
And I will say the Overwatch 2 announcement trailer definitely pulled on my heartstrings. There's something about those characters and the music that gets me every
Blizzard
time.
Blizzard's just so good at cinematics.
I know.
It's insane. But yeah, I'm excited for all of those. Overwatch 2, probably the least. What do I think about the apology? I think it was good enough. I think it was, like, especially if you were there, like, as a fan of Blizzard, hearing J. Allen Brack say that apology, like, It put a smile on my face just because he said it in a very sincere way. And whether or not he believed it or not, you know, depending on how you feel about his transparency in terms of, you know, BlizzChung and their relationship with China, I just felt like he stood up there when he didn't have to, and he said an apology that I think was a pretty good apology. Was it a little vague? Yeah, but I think especially if you were there, like, you could tell how heartfelt it sounded. And I don't know, just as a Blizzard fan, like, it was good enough for me, and it left me feeling not necessarily relieved, but, you know, just left me feeling happy. So And, you know, there were protests at BlizzCon. They were mostly outside of the venue. Because you got to think about it. Most of the people that paid for those tickets are huge Blizzard fans. And they just want to be there to experience the new demos, listen to the panels of their favorite games. They're not there to, you know, cause trouble. So it kind of made sense that there wasn't a lot of, you know, controversy or anything bad happening at BlizzCon. Although during the WoW Q&A, the same kid that helped assign at the Houston Rockets game because of their whole China controversy, he came to BlizzCon and he started shouting free Hong Kong during one of the questions in the crowd.
Wait, this is the guy that got banned?
No. This is just a kid that he was at the Rockets game holding up a sign that got on live TV. And it was something about China.
Okay.
And now he's making another appearance here at BlizzCon, just, you know, shouting free Hong Kong. But they handled the situation professionally, and, you know, he did it a few times and he was asked to go sit down back in his seat. It wasn't like a huge deal, but, you know, it was a thing at that Q&A that it was brought up. So, but, you know, it's weird for, like, being a developer on stage when that's happening, right? Because, you know, you can't say anything. You just make the games. You can't speak for your company on the matter. And, you know, just seeing a kid out there doing that, you're just like, okay, can we get back to the questions now?
All right.
You know, so I felt a little uncomfortable for him, but, you know, it's warranted. Nothing bad happened. It was good. But, yeah, I hope that answered your question somewhat, Kyle. I didn't literally leave BlizzCon, but I left after watching all the stuff on the virtual ticket, very satisfied and excited for the future of Blizzard.
I second the notion, Jacob. I mean, it's clear that Blizzard is a slave to China, but it's very complicated, and I feel like it's been pretty discussed in depth. It's a very tricky situation to be in. So, I mean, it's funny because Joker, for example, crossed the $1 billion mark at the box office without China, because China did not allow that movie to be screened.
That's insane.
So that's incredible. And although a film compared to Blizzard's company as a whole are two entirely different entities, I think that's one example of it is possible to succeed without China. But Blizzard seems to have from what I've heard, Blizzard's income, a lot of that comes from China. I'm not very elegant with my words this morning. I apologize. But
that's early.
Seems okay. Like China is a huge part of their revenue. Yeah. So very complicated situation. It sucks to be in. I feel bad for Blizzard because especially not really even just Blizzard as a company, but especially the developers that work on these games, because I know that they pour their hearts and souls into these projects and it's out of their control.
Yeah, that's where it's tough because you want to, you know, you like the developers, you sympathize with, you know, the work they put into your favorite games, but then you also recognize the corporate structure and you're like, they're just trying to make the most money and appease their shareholders. Right. Shareholders.
Uh-huh.
So it's like,
and we gotta remember it's Activision Blizzard, so we gotta wonder how much Activision is involved in that, because I don't know if it's like a joint partnership where there's like leaders at each company that kind of combat and make decisions, or if there's like one overarching leader, whoever that is.
Supposedly, Blizzard's supposed to be operating on its own.
Okay,
but
they're just in bed with
Activision.
I get
the feeling that, you know, people that invest in Activision have a lot of say over the direction that Blizzard does in terms of their decision making. Because, you know, they're the same company. You can't escape that. So,
right.
I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know how the corporate Activision Blizzard works. I just don't know. I don't think any of us know. So.
Well, may the future be brighter.
For sure.
Carlos writes in. Are you going to say something else?
I said it just can't get much worse.
No. Carlos writes in and says, kind of like Mary, bang one, kill one, but video game edition for 2020.
Oh, boy.
Day one smash, backlog smash, cancel the smash.
Okay.
He says Cyberpunk 2020, Doom Eternal, and The Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, my God.
Okay. He says day one smash, meaning must cop day one. Backlog smash, meaning I'll get to it. Cancel the smash, meaning cancel the game. No one plays it. I'm confused by that. I'm sorry, Carlos. But
I'll do my answers then.
Yeah, Mary, bang, and kill Cyberpunk, Doom Eternal, and Last of Us Part 2.
So day one smash, the one that I can't wait for the most. Cyberpunk 2020.
Okay.
Or 2077. I don't know why you said 2020. I still really want to play that game. I know it's been a little quiet now. It's coming out this spring. I want to play it, man. One that I would put on my backlog, probably Last of Us 2. I can't miss that game. Got to see what happens with Joel and Ellie. And if I have to cancel one, I got to cancel Doom Eternal. I'm sorry, but and I'm sure it's going to be great. But compared to those other two games, it doesn't even measure up. Assuming that Cyberpunk is really good. You know, it could flop. Who knows?
Yeah, but I think financially Cyberpunk will thrive, but we've yet to see if that game's going to be as incredible as it's been hyped up to be.
Yeah, I'm just interested to see if they can have a good narrative in first person like they did with the third person in The Witcher.
Yeah.
Because you know they're going to nail questing like they did in The Witcher. There's going to be no question about that.
Absolutely.
But how will the world feel in a first person view, and how does, you know, playing through it feel in terms of being your own character, and as opposed to, like, you know, having an established character in The Witcher that you can, you know, not only upgrade through, I guess, talents, but also through aesthetic changes with your armor and stuff. You won't really have that in this game.
Yeah. I'd probably do the same. If I had to cancel one, I'd cancel Doom. As much as I want to play Doom, I think between those three, I'd want to play Last of Us and Cyberpunk more.
Mm-hmm. It's tough because you're a huge Doom fan.
Yeah.
It kind of sucked that game got delayed to when it did, because it's a busy period.
Yeah, good luck. I think Doom fans will obviously play it, but I don't know how many, I don't know if you call them casual shooter fans or just people that are just even remotely interested in that game will hold off to play Final Fantasy or Cyberpunk in the midst of all that.
Yeah, like, see, someone like me, like, I'm gonna have to put it off till like maybe the summer or maybe even later, like I did the first Doom. Like, I'm gonna be busy in the spring. It's gonna be tough, but we'll see.
Yeah. Bear Commando writes in and says, okay, I got one for you boys. If you could swap any Switch game and PC game, which two would it be? The Switch game would be PC but no longer exist on Switch, and the PC game would be vice versa. Everyone always talks about games they'd love to play mobile, but I'd love me some Pokemon on PC or some modded Breath of the Wild.
My answer is easy. It'd be Breath of the Wild on PC. You kidding me?
Yeah, that's like, the thing, though, is that I didn't have any problems with it on Switch.
Well, sure, yeah. But, like, imagine what they could do on a PC.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Nintendo, like, specifically makes games for their hardware, but imagine if they just had open reins, the ability to make anything they wanted.
Yeah.
Not be hampered by their own technology.
I don't know what I would do, because if you think about it, if they can pack in Witcher 3 on Nintendo Switch and games like Skyrim.
That doesn't mean it looks good.
I mean, what PC game can't function on Switch at this point? Aside from like an MMO or something.
Yeah, that would be my answer. I don't know, dude.
I don't know what I would do either.
I don't know if I'd want anything on the Switch.
Yeah. I can't really think of a game that would make much of a difference to me on PC than on Switch.
Like, I only play Switch games because they're only on the Switch.
Right.
And I like the portability sometimes.
Yeah. I mean mods for Breath of the Wild would certainly be awesome. I've already seen mods in that game, though, so I don't know how people are doing that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, that's about all I got. I'm sorry, Bear Commando.
Thanks for the question. That was a good question.
Yeah. Carlos is back.
Still waiting
and says,
on that Pokemon MMO.
Yeah, now that Disney Plus is out, what's on your watch list backlog? Like, stuff you've never seen that you can now watch easily.
I watched Frozen.
For the first time?
No. I've seen it many times.
Oh, okay.
I'm a closet fan of that movie.
All right.
And I'm excited for the new one. I don't know if I'll actually see it, but, you know, looks cool. I'm a big fan of the soundtrack of that movie. Besides, like, Let It Go, because that song's just overplayed.
Yeah.
Or it was, and I'm still sick of it. But I think overall that movie had a great soundtrack. I actually started Star Wars Rebels because I had never watched it before, and it's okay. I'm enjoying it so far. What's the dude's name? I don't even know his name. I've watched three episodes. The kid, he's like learning how to be a Jedi because one of the crew members is a Jedi, so he's like training him. So it's cool to see. I know the show gets pretty good as it goes, and I think Ahsoka makes an appearance as well as Vader. So it'll be cool to watch more of it.
Yeah, we'll saw the Clone Wars is on Disney Plus.
It is.
So I've got to get through that at some point. That
I think I already watched through.
Zach and I have watched a lot of 90s animated Spider-Man and Spider-Man Unlimited.
Ooh.
So I think that's cool that those shows are on there because I've always wanted to be able to stream those shows, and it's cool that they're on there now.
Yeah.
I actually haven't explored Disney Plus too much because I've been too busy to actually just sit down and go through it. But I've heard there's a lot of awesome stuff on there. So I'm sure my backlist would be gigantic if I actually scavenged through it a bit.
Yeah. I wish there were more new shows. Like I wish, what was it? Falcon and I don't know what it's called. The Captain America show.
What If? Are you talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Yeah. Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like I want to see that. But it's not done. I've mainly just been watching Rebels and Star Wars Mandalorian. Don't really have a backlog.
Yeah.
On the service.
I'm sure I'll have one eventually. Okay, here's one from Fribes. Quicken. What's y'all's opinion on Disney Plus releasing its series one episode per week? On one hand, it forces everyone away from binging shows, which can be seen as good as it encourages weekly discussion among fans, similar to what made Game of Thrones so much fun, in my opinion. On the other hand, they're forcing us to do this. Why not let bingers binge and slow burners chat?
You briefly mentioned this earlier, but I agreed with your point. I like the more traditional release window. I think it gives opportunity for not only us to talk about it on a podcast, but friends to chat about the show, creates more engagement. And it's also good for companies, too, because it encourages staying on the service longer. And, again, it creates more traffic in terms of everything, social media, service subscriptions and, just people being in your stratosphere. You want that engagement. If you just allow people to, if you upload it all at once on the service, everyone binges. It's a short-lived experience. While some people may prefer that because it works better with their schedules. I think I prefer the other way.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk more about Mandalorian in particular. So
yeah,
I'm for it. And I know a few other people in the chat there had mentioned some of the same points we had touched on as well. So
also, one thing that is annoying about Disney Plus is like if you're watching a show that has like episodes.
Yeah, there's no like continue watching section.
Yes.
I will say, as a company as gigantic as Disney, with all of these streaming services that exist that they can look at and determine how they want to approach their streaming service, how on earth did they overlook that feature?
Yeah, and why is there not a continue watching? Like, I have to go, if I want to watch Rebels, I have to remember what episode I was watching, then go find it, and then hope that I pick the right one. And I'll know because there's it's already started and it's like halfway through.
That is fascinating to me that a company like Disney would overlook such a quality of life feature like that. I mean, and even this service went through beta tests and everything. How did that not change?
Maybe it just wasn't ready. I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure that's on the way, but that's unbelievable to me that they'd launch it without that.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very important feature.
Yeah. I mean, overall, though, aside from day one, I haven't really had any issues aside from that. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Disney fan. So have all that Disney at our fingertips is incredible.
Oh, yeah. It's so nice. Like, I can literally just boot up Lion King whenever I want. It's great.
I was at a friend's house recently and they had Lion King on. I was not only amazed at just the quality of it, but just the fact that you could pull it up and watch it anytime. I was also immediately reminded of how much better that is than the live action version.
Yeah. So. And before this, like, they vault these movies. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yeah. So they vault them and you can't really access them anywhere.
Yeah. Like, for a period, like, they'll sell them.
Yeah.
Then they'll vault them for, a period of time, then they'll do it again, which is smart, to be honest, if you're Disney, because that creates that need to want to go get it. But, this kind of eliminates that. It's nice having them everywhere.
Definitely.
Maybe one or two more. I got to get going.
We're actually out of questions.
Oh, perfect.
So
sweet.
Yeah. But Jacob, it was a pleasure, man. And thank you so much again to everyone who wrote in. And we apologize for the delay on this episode, but it's good to be back. Yep. And I cannot wait to talk more about Star Wars, Mandalorian, and of course, Rise of Skywalker next month.
For sure.
Just games in general. I don't think there's much else coming out this year, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think this is pretty much it for me in terms of releases this year. I don't know if anything else is coming out this year.
Right. Maybe for fun, I'll work on some Let's Plays for the YouTube channel, if anyone even cares about the YouTube channel anymore.
Yeah, maybe we can have a conversation about that.
So,
but yeah, I'm just going to be playing Star Wars and Pokemon the rest of the week. I'm excited to get back to those. But right now, I gotta go to work. Sad face.
That's exciting, Jacob. Well, I got some errands to run myself, so you're not alone.
But yeah, first I'm gonna go to the gym and do some cardio.
Ooh, I'm into that.
Yeah, same. You been working out?
I had been very consistently. I haven't been able to work out in a few days because I was out of town and stuff, but I intend to get back to it today.
Get back to it.
Yeah, I shall.
It's good for you and it makes you feel good.
Yes, it does. But again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your continued support. We love you to bits and cannot wait to talk to you more on Discord. I guess that's the only place we talk, so we'll see you on Discord.
Hey, Garrett, thanks for having me today. Had some good conversation. I feel like it was a good episode. And I hope everyone has a good week. Enjoyed the episode. And that's all I got.
All righty. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Have a wonderful and blessed week. And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye, everyone.
See ya.